We do this variety trial every year. We ask the companies, all the seed companies basically, for varieties, new experimental lines they may have, that sort of thing. We had a dismal failure in 2011. We had a record heat drought year, and for the first time since we started the test, we had almost no disease. And so we were a little bit backlogged this past year, 2012. It was still a dry, hot year, but not a record type dry, hot year. And so we did get some results this year, so I'm going to present it. We don't have as many experimental lines as normal because we were a little bit backlogged, but we did have enough disease to be able to present some results. I have a handout in a chair in the back there that has the results from the tests that were successful, in case anyone wants to take it with them. The disease, you can see on the far side, you've got leaves with foliar symptoms, very striking, pretty easy to diagnose. If you peel the stem open, you'll see vascular discoloration. And down here we have microsclerotia being formed on a stem. The microsclerotia are the infective propagules. They infect in the spring. They'll colonize the roots. At some point they'll go systemic into the vascular system, and you'll start to then see symptoms typically after flowering at some point. In our area, we get strong symptoms usually showing up in the latter half of August in a normal year. In terms of management of verticillium, there's an integrated approach is recommended, but not necessarily easy to practice. Varieties are very easy for the producers, and so that's by far what they use. We recommend varieties that have partial resistance. However, we're not measuring the spore concentration in the varieties. We're opting out for either looking for delayed incidence or reduced incidence of wilt, or reduced defoliation. That's kind of our definition of partial resistance. But there has been some work done that does show, in fact, that there are differences in the reproduction of the fungus as well in the soil with some of these varieties. So another area that is hard to implement but can be very effective is to manage irrigation. You don't want to overwater in a verticillium field. There's a point where you actually lose yield compared to putting out less water. And then crop rotation to try to reduce your microsclerotia density can be effective if you rotate enough years away from cotton, or if you're in a good rotation before a problem exists, that will certainly delay the onset of a problem. So our protocol is typically we select six sites over along the area that we work in. We have 32 entries per site with four replications and a randomized complete block design. Our plot lengths are 35 to 36 foot long with two rows. And then we measure plant stand on every plant in both rows. We look at the symptom development on every plant in both rows. We'll do a defoliation index near the end of the year. Then we'll harvest the plots with a mechanical cotton stripper, take a subsample from the harvested cotton, gin it to get our turnout of lint, and then have the sample lint processed to look at lint quality factors. And the pins here just show you where the plots were this past year. Lubbock, Texas is right here. And so we have three tests north of Lubbock. We've got one just south of Lubbock. And then we've got two tests quite a bit south of Lubbock. So I'm going to show you some of the data from just one of the sites. We had good disease at three of the six sites, so that's all I put together in our booklet that we produce on this. We don't share generally the data where we didn't have sufficient verticillium. But so this just shows the lint across the 32 entries at this particular site. We had 43% incidence of wilt near the end of August at this particular site. It was late showing up, but when it did, it got going pretty well. The blue bars would represent Fibromax varieties. The light blue bars would be Stoneville varieties. Next Gen would be bright red. Americot would be darker red, Delta Pine would be green, Dyna-Gro would be black, Altex gray, Phytogen yellow. And so we'll use that scheme. I've got the individual names written on the x-axis, but you can't really see that well. So you can see, just looking in general, your higher yielding varieties are your blue bars. You've got one black bar and then a couple red bars there in your top entry. So your Fibermax by far are where your higher yielding varieties are. A striped bar would be indicative of an experimental line. And so we've got pretty good yields in this field. 1,700 pounds is an excellent yield for this past year, where it was quite hot and dry. But all the way down to about 1,100 pounds with the worst varieties. And so that's a typical range. You see a difference of about 600 pounds of lint between your best and your worst. And some years, and when we have more verticillium in years, we'll see bigger than a 600-pound difference. But in a year like this, I think this is pretty reasonable. If we look at the same order of varieties that we had for yield, and we look at the incidence of wilt, you can see that we had a range of something as low as 20% incidence of wilt all the way up to about 60% incidence of wilt on that. This would have been the 28th of August. And you can see in general a trend, as we had lower yields, we have higher levels of wilt. And if we do regression on it, you can see this is a sort of relationship that popped out with a significant value, a significant effect of incidence of wilt on yield. What this is basically saying, at that time, for every 1% incidence of wilt, we lost 12 pounds of lint at this site, is what this is suggesting. And this is our defoliation index. It runs from 0 to 3. A 0 is no defoliation. A 1 indicates that we had less than 33% wilt or defoliation. From a 2 is 33% to 67% defoliation, and that if we have more than 2/3 of the plant is defoliated, that would be a 3. And then we take about 20 observations in each plot measuring defoliation, and then we just average that value for a plot. And so you can see, again, in general, we had an upwards trend. The more disease, or the more yield we had, the lower the defoliation at this particular site. And here's the regression analysis again for that. So we had three sites that had good wilt, and we have different varieties at all the sites. There's some that we always have in common, and then there's some differences between the varieties that go into each site. And so this is just what I call a relative value. So at each site, I take the highest average yield, and I would divide that by the individual yield for each variety. So your highest yielding variety at a site is given a 1. And if you had a variety that was yielding only 50% of that, then it would be a 0.5 on this scale. So I averaged this across all the three sites where we had good results. And I actually use Proc Mix to do the analysis. And so it ranks the varieties in terms of, in this case, value. So it's actually, this is your yield times your loan value price. So it takes in lint quality factors as well. And so, again, you can see the ranking from, I think there was 57 varieties spread across these three sites that we tested. And so you kind of get a listing of good to bad. And, again, you can see your first three bars are blue, Fibermax, and you have a next-gen variety and then experimental, and then you have another blue bar, et cetera, et cetera. And all this is on, again, the handouts in the back. But you can see I've listed the top five varieties according to this scale, Fibermax 2484 B2 Flex, Fibermax 9170 B2 Flex, Fibermax 2011 GT, Next Gen 4111 RF, and then Fibermax 2989 GL B2 would have come out to be the top five varieties. There's actually a breeding line in there that I didn't include, so that would be the top five out of the top six in our overall analysis this year. And just if you look at relative wilt compared to relative value, again, there's a regression analysis a little bit weaker than the individual one site, but it's still there. Defoliation, same thing, a little bit weaker, but still there. And this is just a little bit of environmental data over the six sites where we did test, as well as some other sites that we monitor verticillium this year. And this is the microstrata density in the soil at planting, and this is your percent wilt across all the sites. And typically, we would expect disease to be severe around somewhere between 3 and 10 on this scale. But you can see this year, even much higher levels didn't give us much wilt. It was very hot. But you can see when we got up here around 100, we did get disease. And so certainly our microsclerotia densities were important, but we had to have a ton of stuff in the soil to have disease this year. Again, it was very hot. And this is looking at your moisture levels in the top 4 inches in these same fields around the first 2 weeks of August. And you can see that also, you know, your better irrigated fields had more disease, which you would expect. That the water also, it's not just microsclerotia density, you've got to be wet. And so you're, where you have good moisture in your top 4 inches, you had better disease. And here where you have cooler soils, which again is an indication of moisture, you have more wilt, and then it drops off pretty quick as your soils get hotter. And so these things all tie together in terms of whether or not you get substantial wilt in your fields. So, in summary, our top performing varieties, again, were Fibromax 2484 B2 Flex. That's a fairly new variety. Fibromax 9170 B2 Flex, that's been around for a while. Fibromax 2011 GT, Next Gen 4111 RF, and Fibromax 2989 GL B2. And I'll mention all these tests have a couple check varieties, susceptible and partially resistant. And so our partial resistant variety in all these test fields is Fibromax 9180 B2 Flex, which is an old variety at this point. And you can see it doesn't make the list anymore. And so we have seen a gradual improvement in varieties over time, I would say, where we are, in fact, improving our partial resistance, our yield response to verticillium over the last, you know, 5 years or so. And I want to thank Texas Cotton State Support that funds this work every year and has for quite a few years now. And then the producers that participated, Ron Graves, Glenn Schur, Blake Davis, Bruce Lehman, Chuck Rowland, and Mitchell Johnson. Thank you. The selection of varieties in a site is by maturity. So I put our shorter season ones in our northern sites. I put our longer season ones in our southern sites. Our middle sites get a little more of a mixture, other than the checks.
And so harvest is appropriate for the site.
Well, and that's not such an issue with stripper cotton anyway, to be honest. But the sites are managed however the grower manages the sites. Okay? Whatever he does, that's how the entire site is managed. So it isn't optimized at all for an individual variety.
Terry, in this rotation as an option, how effective is rotation reducing microsclerotia conflict?
I've had some farmers that have gone out of cotton for about 4 years because their problems have gotten so bad. And the numbers went way down after 4 years to a point where I didn't think there would be a problem. And the next cotton crop in those fields had, and this would have been 2010, which was a pretty good wilt year, had about 33% incidence of wilt. And the numbers jumped right back up. And so where I found rotation was effective was before there's a problem, you see a nice delay in the wilt becoming a problem if you've been in a rotation over a number of years. Say 1 year a grain crop, 2 years cotton, that kind of rotation can delay the onset of wilt being a problem, I would say a good 5 to 10 years. But once you have a problem, it's real hard to get out of that problem situation from rotation.